Welcome everybody, this is the SharePoint Patterns and Practices webcast, also known as the Office 365 Developer Webcast. Today we're going to talk about how you can build Angular SharePoint Framework web parts. So we're going to talk about how you can integrate Angular, the client-side web parts of SharePoint Framework, and how you start developing them using the TypeScript and the typical way of doing development. My name is Vesa Juvonen. I'm a senior program manager in Microsoft and SharePoint Engineering. With me today is Waldek Mastercard. Waldek, will you do the intros?
Yes. Good morning, everybody. My name is Waldek Mastercard. I am Office Development MVP, work as a senior developer at Rancor, and today I'll be your JavaScript dude.
Indeed. So we're going to do the same stuff as we've done in some of these webcasts before. Go and check them out from our YouTube channel if you haven't actually watched them. Watch those webcasts before as well. But we're going to do some slides. We're going to do a long demo. Well, not a super long demo, but a demo around how do we start truly using the Angular within a SharePoint Framework web parts. Before we go there, let's do a quick intro on the SharePoint Patterns and Practices, also known as the Office Dev Patterns and Practices. So the SharePoint Patterns and Practices is something what the SharePoint engineering owns. And what we want to do is that we want to provide people easy to use code samples, guidance documentations. We also have a monthly community call where we always go through what has happened within the previous month, including a lot of demos. We also have a few case studies around the PNP usage from Blue Meteor, who is an ISV, who transformed to use the cloud compliant way of doing implementations a while back, and Volvo Cars, who is a good example of a customer who's using the PNP guidance. The themes are in a SharePoint framework, SharePoint add-ins. We also touch Microsoft Graph, Office 365 API, and so on. So, and also remote provisioning and client-side development is a really the key part of the SharePoint PNP initiative. Today, we wanted to talk about Angular in SharePoint FX or framework web parts. And really, how do we actually get started on doing that? Is that we install the Angular using the npm directly to your web part project. So within your command line, you run that install command so that Angular will be added to your project files. After that, we install the typings, so we will have an IntelliSense within a TypeScript when we start writing those client-side web parts. Some of you might be super familiar with TypeScript. Some of you might be wondering, why would I use TypeScript in first place? But that really comes down on the IntelliSense. When you do development only in JavaScript, the typings or the intelligence and the development time checking isn't actually there. And that's where the TypeScript actually shines. Whenever we then compile the TypeScript in quotes, it comes to be a native JavaScript. So the impact of using TypeScript is only in the development time. In the actual production time or when we are executing that in the UIs, it's still native JavaScript. And then we import the Angular to be used within the client-side web part. So we essentially, in the client-side web part file, we go and say, hey, within this file and TS file, we start using the Angular. And then you get the intelligence to be available. Today, we're going to also kind of in the demo, we're going to use the Angular Office UI Fabric. And this is an awesome community effort, which is actually showing how to use the Office UI Fabric within in the context of Angular. So when you're writing Angular-based implementations. Community-driven and an awesome example of the power of the community when people are sharing their knowledge and sharing their skills for the benefit of others. But let's actually jump on directly to the demo. So that was a really quick introduction on the steps. And we'll go to the demo, Waldek is going to show what it actually means within the context of creating that client-side web part, which is using Angular in a native way. So we're not going to just reference a JavaScript file, which is our Angular application. We're going to use the Angular within the code natively using the typings within the Visual Studio Code in this case. But let's switch to the demo part so Waldek can take it away.
All right, thank you, Esa. So today we will show you how you can use Angular to build SharePoint Framework client-side web parts. As an example, we will use a simplified version of a to-do web part that basically allows you to manage tasks. So here you can see the web part on a screen. You can see that we can have tasks that are done. We can have tasks that are to do. So we can click them as done. We can add new tasks, and we can add them to the list. And we can also choose whether we want to show tasks that are done are not in the list. So we can do that here in the web part, and then we click apply to actually apply the things that we changed in the property pane.
That's a good point, actually, that the apply button. Just to clarify on that one, it's a choice of a designer of the web part. That do you want to have the apply as a separate thing, or do you want to have it as a reactive action? Right, Waldeck?
Yes, absolutely. And the essential part there is that initially the apply button is not there, and the property pane works in a reactive mode. So that means every change you do here, every time you change anything about properties, the web part will re-render. For this scenario here, we didn't really need to use apply button. But imagine that you would load the tasks from a real list. And one of the things that you would be able to choose is, for example, the name of the list, right? So you would be able to type the name of the list. In reactive mode, on every keystroke, the web part would try to load the data from the partial name of the list. So this is definitely not a thing that you want. So with that, you can switch the web part to work in a non-reactive mode, which we have here, and then you can just type the name, click apply, and only then will the web part re-render and try to load the data from the real list.
Makes a lot of sense, and it's good to have the both options. So it slightly really depends on the functionality what we're implementing.
Yes, and you can choose whatever makes sense in your case, right? Yeah. So you don't have to go with either or one. You can just pick the one that you want to use that makes sense in your case.
Yeah.
So all of this is built as an Angular app, and it's simple app. There is no backend to it. There is no data store. All it does, it stores that in memory, just to show you that. So here is our app. We use the ng Office UI fabric to have it styled using Office UI fabric. We have one controller for our page and one service, which basically uses a fixed collection of items initially that we can then interact with. So we can have tasks and have them set as done. We can remove them, add them, and all of that. So that's being not written to a list, but that being kept as an object, and you could easily extend that to have that stored in a list. We actually have that code already available. So now, how about we start creating that web part exactly the same step by step from scratch? So let me just move that to the side, because we won't type everything ourselves, but we will just grab the pieces of code that we already have, reuse them, and we will walk through them step by step, like what's there and what do we do where. So here, let's go back to our console. Let me stop this one. We won't need this. Let me increase the font of this one so that you can more easily read that. And then let's start by creating new web part. So let's create a new project. We will call that PMP Angular To Do. And let's go directly into it. And then we call Yo Microsoft SharePoint. And based on that, we start the SharePoint framework Yeoman generator that allows us to create the project. So we just stick with the default name. We want to use the current folder. Web part we will call to-do. Description is simple management of to-do tasks. And then, as you can see, Angular is not in this list. So that means...
For now.
Yes. And that does not mean that you cannot use that. The only thing that it means is that the default SharePoint framework Yeoman generator does not have Angular in it. It has React, Node, or Knockout. But if you want to use Angular for now, you just have to stick with the first option of no JavaScript framework. And then we can add Angular to it ourselves. So we do that. And now the SharePoint framework Yeoman Generator is creating the project, installing dependencies, and doing everything it needs to do for us to be able to use the web part.
So it pulls down, well, it doesn't technically, at this point, it doesn't pull down anything from the internet. It encapsulates and creates the project structure with the default settings and copies them to the solution folder. Well, and no doubt right now we're running the 0.065 version of the generator SharePoint. So there will be, there's a lot of dependencies currently within the structure. So the folder structure is quite big. But we're looking into reducing that within the future with the future releases. But we're still in the developer preview at this point when the video was recorded. So there will be small changes on the size of the project and dependencies as we go through. But since this takes a while, let's have a quick pause and cut the section until the project is fully completed.
All right, the project is done. So how about the first thing that we do is to check it out what we have. So we do that by calling gulp serve. And because we already have the workbench open, let's just call gulp serve dash dash no browser, which means that we will already use the browser that we have available. So we don't want the script to start another one. And the web server is on, so now that we can go back to our workbench, remove the web part that we had, reload workbench, and now it complains about the web part that's not there anymore. That's correct, because we removed it. Let me remove all of that. Let me reload the workbench, and now I can go here, add new web part, and then it's here. So that's the web part that we get out of the box, right? So how about we now turn that step by step into the web part that you have seen initially so that we can manage our to-do tasks. Let me go back to our command line. Let me stop that. And the first thing that that we will do is to install Angular. So we do that by calling npmi for install Angular. And we also want the web part to look a bit like Office, right? So for that, we install the Office UI Angular directives, which we can grab from ng-office.ui.fabric, and then we call dash capital S, which is short for dash dash save, meaning it will add these dependencies to our package.json so that every time someone else grabs the project from source control, they will also get these two extra dependencies. So we call, we press enter, and with that we install these dependencies to our project.
And this one again might take a while. It essentially pulls down the dependencies from internet, so it's really dependent on a bandwidth and how fast the computer. Well, in this case, it's an Apple computer or Mac is working.
It's already done, Vanessa.
Yeah.
All right, so now we install dependencies to our project, but these dependencies don't really do anything because we don't use them yet. So and before we do, we also need one more thing. Remember that we work with TypeScript, right? So in order to use TypeScript and Angular, we also need typings. And we can install them using the tsd install angular dash dash save. So with that, we will add Angular typings to our project, and we will also add them to the list so that, again, whenever someone else grabs the project from source control, they will get typings as well. All right, so with that, we have the baseline in place, and now it's actually time for us to add the Angular app to our web part. So let's start Visual Studio Code, which is the editor of my choice, and you can use anything you want, right? There is no limit which editor you can or you must use. Anything works. Let me increase the font size, and then let's go to our web part. And as you can see here, that's just the vanilla web part that we get without anything in it. So let's first start with adding the folder that we have here, the app one. So let me just copy-paste it, or let me just create it here, and we will go step-by-step what's where. So you first start with creating the data HerviceDat allows us to interact with the items. So here we call a file called dataservice.ts. And for that, let's just grab everything that we have here, copy paste. So what we have here are the basic functions that we need in order to get items, add new one, delete one, or set one either as done or not, right? And since these items are just here in a list, there isn't anything else that we need, right? We can just directly manipulate the items that we have here, right? So this one is really easy, straightforward. And we also add an interface that we use to represent our item, right? So that we have typing and type safety throughout the whole web part. Another thing that we will do is add controller for our page, for our web part. So we call it homeController.ts, and then let's grab the source from here. And here are actually a few things that we will initially remove so that we can go through it step by step. So let me remove this one here because we don't need that initially. Let me do this. High finish task, all that is good. Yes. So what we do here, what we have here is that's the place where we control the view model of our page. Right, so initially when our web part loads, we load, for example, the items from our service, right? And here we also say whether we want to pass the finished task or we want to show finished tasks or not, right? So we do all of that here. And when we get the items from the service, we assign them back to our view model for use in our template. And then we also have some additional functions for pressing keys. So whenever we type a new task and press enter, it is actually equal for adding new item to a list. And again, for that, we call our data service for that to add the item to our collection and then refresh the list of all items. Then we have also another function for deleting items, and another one to set items as done or not, right? And we use all of these functions from within our template, which we will set in a moment. The last piece left for us to use is to initiate the app, and we do that within the app module. So let's create here a new file called app-module.ts, and for that, let's grab the code from here. So what we do here is, as you can see, we import Angular, we import our home controller data service, we also import the ng office UI fabric here, right? Because we don't need to have that within the web part. We need this here so that we can pass dependencies to our Angular module here. So here we say that from the ng-office UI fabric, we want to use its core, and then we want to use all of its components. So it's here. And then we also add to our module the controller and our service. So with that, our Angular app is now ready to be added within the web part. So that's the next step that we do. So here, let's switch to our web part. Let me remove the pane. And then we'll just go step by step by adding the Angular application here. So we start by copying these two parts. And with that, we first load Angular. And then we also load the module that we have separate into this file, right? So with that, we will be able to load our Angular app within the web part. Then let's define template for our Angular app. And for that, let's just grab this block of code. Let's replace the template that we get out of the box. And here we have to close the if block. And we are also getting some comments that we have style CSS files that we didn't define. So just to get rid of them, let's grab all of this, copy them to our CSS so that we won't be bothered by the errors. Now we can go here. We still have them here, but they will be gone the moment that we build the project. There are a few things that are important to see now here. So first is that we wrapped actually adding template into the if this rendered once clause, right? If you know Angular, you know that each Angular app should be bootstrapped only once. The thing about the render function here is that it executes every single time, or it executes initially when you add the web part to the page, but it also executes every single time you change property of web part through the property pane. So that means, imagine that for this scenario, we would switch whether we want to show DOM tasks or not. That would actually, or that will, re-execute the rendering part. That means that if we didn't wrap this template in the rendered once clause, that would bootstrap our Angular app twice or more, which would throw an error, right? Because Angular does not allow bootstrapping the same app multiple times. So for that, we use the rendered once property that we get from the base client side web part that we can check then if this rendered once is false. That means that the web part renders initially, and then we set template and we bootstrap the app. So here, if we scroll down, we didn't bootstrap the app yet. So let's do that. Let's do this. So let's add this part and then we add the rest later on. So we add this within the if clause. So we do this, and the reason we can use Angular here is thanks to our import here, right? So here we say import, and that makes the Angular variable available within this file. Also, what we want to use is we want to have the ability to choose whether we want to show tasks that are done or not, right? So we do that by adding property to our web part. We always start that from the manifest. So we go here, and here within the manifest, we replace the one that we had initially with the high finish tasks, which is here. Next, we go back to our web part code, and we have to define the same property there. Now, as you can see here, initially we had text field, but for this one, it doesn't make any sense to type anything, right? So instead, how about we use something else that we have available? So here we can use a toggle, right? So that will be that switch that you have seen that we can just flip, and with that choose whether we want to show tasks that are done or not. So first, let's go up and let's add that. Let's import that from Microsoft/SP Client Preview to here. So because we won't be using the property pane text field anymore, we remove that and we replace it with property pane toggle. And then we scroll down and we copy this part here. So basically we replace the property pane text field with our property pane toggle, and we say that it will be the high finish tasks. And here we have another error saying that the label that we had does not exist. That's correct. So here we go to lock, en.us, and let me just grab all of that. And we will need to replace some other things as well. So let's fix that first. Let's just replace all of that. The MyStrings define interface, so we need that as well. So here we have all the properties that we use. And then in LTS, we also need to change this group, data group name. No, that's view group name, because that's our view. So let's just remove this one, and we will call that view group name. All right. So with that, we have that part in place. And actually, at this point, that should work. So either way, we should be able to initially see our list. So let's try and run this app. So we will say gulp serve, no browser, because we already have Workbench. And we will build that. And if we didn't forget anything, so there is an unused variable, but we will get to that. So that's not bad. That's only due to the fact that we remove some code that we will add soon. So with that, let's go to our browser, which is here. Let's refresh the page. And now we can see our tasks, right? So now we can already see them. We can click them. We can mark them as done. We can add new items, and that works. We can remove them. And so let's mark this one. But there are a few things that are not totally right. So the first one is, if you look closely, you see that the bullet here is being shown, while it wasn't there initially. Another thing that isn't there is, for example, if we edit the web part and change here, nothing happens, right? Because the one thing that we haven't done yet is to pass properties of the web part into our Angular app. So now the fact that we change anything here, our Angular app doesn't know about it, right? So these are the two things that we want to fix. So let's go back to our code. And the first thing that we do is to actually fix a bullet here. The reason for that is, and that's not a bug within our web part, and it's also not a bug in ng office UI fabric. The reason for that is that ng office UI fabric is based off office UI fabric 2.6.1. Whereas the Office UI fabric that we get out of the box here is 2.0.1. And initially, whenever you wanted to render an item in a list, that was done using a div. And in Office UI fabric 2.6.1, you can actually use a ULE with that. But because we are still on Office UI fabric 2.0, it does not know that we want to use Lee with that, and therefore we get the bullets. So what we need to do here is to load a newer version of Office UI fabric. And we can do that from CDN. So for that, the first thing that we need to do, and I think I need to stop the web part for that, and that's caused by a bug. The first thing that we want to do is go back to our web part here and add the module holder that we will use to load Office UI fabric from CDN. So we do that. Next thing that we're gonna do is into our constructor, load Office UI fabric CSS, right? Because we don't need any scripts. All of the scripts are already part of ng Office UI fabric. We only need CSS. So we add them here. And that should fix our issue. Now, when we try to build the project now, we will get an error. Not this one. This one we already had. There is another error that says that cannot find module combo keys. The module is there. The things that isn't there are actually typings. So we can easily fix that by saying tsd install combo keys dash save. So with that, we will add typings to it. And now if we'll run it again by calling gulp serve dash dash no browser, we should be good to go. We should be back into an error that we already had. And we should be able to go back to our app part to workbench, refresh it, and the bullets are gone, if all is good. So we go back to browser, we refresh the page, and the bullets are gone. So now that it looks like the way it's supposed to be, let's go into the next part where we will push the properties from web part into our Angular app. Challenging part about that is that if you see here, here is the part where we create our Angular app and bootstrap it, and properties are being modified within the web part, whereas all of the Angular app is, in a way, separate from all of that, right? So there is no easy way, and actually Angular app doesn't really know at all about the fact that it runs within the web part, Right, so with that, there is no easy way for Angular app to react to web part and the other way around. One trick that you can use with that in Angular is to use injector to trigger event on root scope. So what we mean with that is whenever you change property of a web part, you will trigger an event, and the Angular app can then subscribe to that event and react to it. So the way this works is that we first define a private variable called injector. And that variable is of type ng-auto iInjector service, and we add that to our web part. So we add it here. Next, when we bootstrap our app, we need instance of that, right? Because the bootstrap is done only initially. So that's being done only when we add the web part to the page first time. But we need injector. We need to be able to react to that event every time. So outside of our if clause, the render once, so all of this is being done only initially when you add the web part to the page. Everything else, what we add here, is going to run every single time the web part re-renders. And what we do here is we say we broadcast new event that passes the value of the high finish task. And I actually see here that I also forgot to add it to our interface. So in our iToDo web part props, I need to change that too. Let me go back here, web part props, and let me change all of that to this. So that way we have our property, and we pass the value into our event that we broadcast in Angular. With that, the last part left for us, and here's a squiggly line to the web part props. Oh yeah, I changed the name. I pasted too much. Let me fix that by doing this. Yes, that's fixed. So with that, the last part left for us to do is to go to our Angular app and subscribe it to that event, the event that we create here called configuration change, and actually do something about it, right? So we go here, we go to our home controller. And here from home controller, we actually grab the piece of code that we had initially and which we removed, which is here. And that we basically used to say whenever configuration is changed, the web part should call the init function, or the Angular app should call init, passing as argument the value of the high finish task property, which we pass here within the web part. So here we say this property is high finish task, which corresponds to the real value of the high finish task property, and we pass that into our event under property called high finish tasks, which we get from here, high finish tasks, which we have here, and then we use that in it, and in init we pass that as a argument, and then we use that to show items that are done or not. So with that, we can go here. That should already reload. So we can go to browser, reload that, and if all is well, if we go here and we now say high finish task on, the tasks that are done are gone, and then if we uncheck that, then we will see tasks that are gone. Now, see that currently our property pane is in reactive mode, right? So whenever we switch that, we can see changes immediately. If we would like to change it into non-reactive mode, we would have to add another function into our web part, which basically says that the web part property pane, or the web part, is in non-reactive mode. So we go back to our web part here, add function called disable reactive property changes. If we save that, project will rebuild. We wait a moment and then refresh the page. And now if we go back here, we can see apply here. Whenever we flip that, we won't see anything changed. But then if we click apply, we actually will. So with that, you have seen how you can use Angular and ng-office UI fabric for building SharePoint framework client-side web parts. Hessa?
Thank you. Thank you, Waldeck, on that. I think it's a great demo on getting started on the Angular implementation. Like you said when we started the demo, this one is toggling or saving those items within the memory. So it doesn't actually save them to the SharePoint side, but just as well, we could actually talk to the SharePoint and do the operations using the HTTP posts and gets and all of that within the implementation. But that's not really the target of this webcast. So let's do another one when we actually talk against the SharePoint then as a separate one. But other than that, I think it's time to head back on the presentation and do a summary on the webcast.
Yep.
And going back on the slides, so great demo from Waldeck on that one. Hopefully shows the power of using the Angular with the client-side web part or how to get started on using that. We wanted to, again, keep it relatively simple so that people can adapt the technology and adapt how to get started. And we'll absolutely come up with the more complex scenarios in the upcoming webcasts as well. But just kind of a walkthrough, what did we do within the demo part? So like we started in the presentation as well, we started using the NPM, and that's the package manager for JavaScript. And we installed the Angular and NG UI fabric, and we'd use the dash S option, so we actually get the package JSON updated. So that if you're sharing your project, and so you're able to use the NPM install or iCommand, and that will then pull down the needed dependencies from the internet. Then we executed the TSD install Angular S, which is for the typings, so you get the intelligence to work nicely in the TypeScript. And then we moved to the actual web part site. So in the web part, we used the import command and Angular to be available within the web part development. And then we bootstrapped the Angular application, our Angular app, inside of the tis.dom element, essentially meaning that the Angular will be then rendered as part of inside of the client-side web part in the render method. But I think that actually sums up the webcast quite nicely. Any last words from your side, Waldeck?
Yes, I would encourage everybody to try out the code that we have and have a look at the framework, which is a great chance to build web parts.
Absolutely, absolutely. And some people might be kind of wondering, what's really the benefit out of using the client-side framework? Because you can use the Angular already without the client-side framework or the SharePoint framework. But that really comes down on having a standardization on using the JavaScript libraries in an, let's say, standardized way as part of the development. So it helps on having more context, it helps on having a more structure within your implementation. And there's a lot of benefits using the framework because you're getting all of that page context, you're getting access more easily to the SharePoint elements and SharePoint data. But I think that sums up the webcast. So thank you everybody for watching, and we'll come up with a new one sooner or later.